Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourselves up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money. And hold that money. And practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march or demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches never changed anything.
Take the bass line out. Here we go.
Bounce.
Let it bump. From standing on the corners popping to driving some of the hottest cars New York has ever seen. For dropping some of the hottest verses rappers ever heard. From the dope spot with the smoke block singing the murder scene. You know me well from nightmares of a lonely cell. My only hell was since when y'all niggas know me to fail. Fuck nah, we all my niggas with the rubber grip. Bust shots, and if you with me, mama, rubber your tits and whatnot. I'm from the school of the hard knocks. We must not let outsiders violate our block. And my plot is sick of the world and split it 50-50. Let's take the dough and stay real jiggy. Let's sip the Chris and get pissy. Flow infinitely like the memory of my nigga Biggie. Baby, you know it's hell when I come through. The Life and Times of Sean Carter, nigga, Volume 2. Y'all niggas get ready. Niggas locked down in a 10x4, controlling the house. We live in hard knocks. We don't take over, we ball blocks. Burn them down and you can have it back, daddy. I'd rather that. I float for chicks wishing they ain't have to strip to pay tuition. I see your vision, mama. I put my money on the long shots. All my ballers that's born the clock. No mama be on top, whether I perform or not. I went from lukewarm to hot. Sleeping on batons and cots, the king size. Green machines, the green fives, the steam pies. Let the thing between my eyes analyze life's ills. Then I put it down tight grill. I'm tight grill with the phony rappers. Y'all might feel we homies. I'm like still, y'all don't know me. Shit, I'm tight grill. When my situation ain't improving, I'm trying to murder everything moving. Feel me? Gotta eat, stay on my toes. Got a lot of beef, so logically, I pray on my foes. Hustle's still inside of me. And as far as progress, you'd be hard-pressed to find another rapper hot as me. I gave you prophecy on my first joint, and y'all all lamed out. Didn't really appreciate it till the second one came out. So I stretched the game out, extra name out, put Jigger on top, and drop albums non-stop for ya.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt. I ain't worthy. guess what? Your package gonna keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity weight, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
How'd it go?
We got one out of two of the motherfuckers, you know?
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
Look, we out, man. I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man. You know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right. Relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised with you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know?
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights, close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. Couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
All right. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're going to put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you gonna do?
I don't know. But it can't be this.
All right, then. We straight.
Man in his time, you know?
Yeah. He a man today. He a man.
Listen, I want to talk to you poor people, your middle class people, and the ones who thought they made it. Listen to this. I want to talk to shorten the talk. This ain't no racial matter. This thing concerns us all. Do you know one thing?
Prices going up and out of sight.
Listen, charging $3 a half a pound for pork chops. Man, that ain't right. And put this in your hat and smoke it.
Best of me.
Listen, do you know the only time I feel strange is when I'm looking at a cardboard picture on TV? And you listen to this. If you notice they're charging too much for a
black eye and butter beans,
I can't even afford to put that back in my car. I went to the store the other day and had my basket stacked. Things cost so damn much, I had to throw it all back. How they look for a poor man to get ahead? Say they gonna charge a dollar and a half for a day old loaf of bread. You tell me that ain't
crisis.
We got to do something about these
prices.
Yes, we are. You tell me that ain't inflation. Lord, these prices about to drive me
crazy.
Listen, I think I'll write my congressman and my senator too. I'm going to even call the press. See what can he do. If you go to the store today with $40, the people call you a drag. You can bring that little old food back in two little old paper bags. Do you know that? Look here. Have you dug the price of sugar, flour, and meal? Things like that'll make a poor man steal. And they tell you, don't worry about it. We're going to look out for you. You got a chance. We'll make it up to you with food stamps. Get on up there. God, listen.
Tell us more, Mass Man.
The average soup today.
Talk about prices.
I'll run you two and a quarter.
Talk about prices.
The way things are going up.
Talk about prices.
You're going to have to start paying for a drink of water.
Talk about prices.
$75 for a pair of shoes and $50 for a hat. That don't make no damn sense for things to be costing like that. Things is getting so tough, my dog is scared to bear his bone. When he come back to look for it, some poor joker done dug it up and carried it home. My cat can't find a rat in the alley, all up packed up and left. He's sitting down eating onions and about to cry himself to death. Talking about prices and prices, y'all.
Prices and prices.
I'm talking about prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
They got to bring them down so we can survive.
Prices and prices.
Do you remember the fuel prices?
Prices and prices.
I used to get in every line I saw so I could get
prices
my shit.
Prices and prices.
Daylight broke on me one day and I was headed
prices
for the cemetery.
Prices.
I said, hold it, y'all. I ain't
prices
going for that.
Prices.
You should have seen me making a U-turn with my
prices
Cadillac.
Prices.
I started saying, prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
Bring them down.
Prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarion. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarion took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarion, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarion Styles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarion can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Listen to me. Rich people think differently. So what I'm going to put in your head today is a rich people concept so you can get to understand it. The only difference between successful people and not is just how they think. Rich people think different. Quit letting people tell you you got to get qualified in another program. You don't need another program to be successful. You need to change the way you think. So here's the deal. The problem with becoming a millionaire is that when you decide that you want to be a millionaire, you immediately start thinking, how can I become a millionaire? Well, that thought don't just pop into your head, so you get frustrated, and you don't become a millionaire. And you start creating stuff like, well, I guess this wasn't the Lord's will, or as soon as I think of how I'm going to make a million. You can't think of how to make $1 million. Stop. Do you know if you knew how to make $1 million, what's today, Tuesday? Wouldn't you make it by Friday? Would not you make it by Friday? But suppose I told you how you can become a millionaire with what you have. Because here's the deal. All of you have everything it takes to become rich. You just don't believe it. Now, if you can develop this theory that I'm about to share with you, I have the way for you to be rich. This is it. First of all of you have a gift. God gave it to you when he created you. God never created a single soul without giving them a gift. That's the God that created you. He's a very smart God. Here's the cold thing. When he made you, he put the gift inside of you. He didn't hide it under the ocean. It ain't on the mountain nowhere. It ain't under no rocks. You ain't got to go drilling. God put what you needed inside of you at birth. All of you have a gift. But you have got to do your gift, the thing God gave you at birth to do. It is the thing that you do the absolute best with the least amount of effort. That's your gift. Anything else you're doing, you're wasting your time. Do you hear me? You're wasting your time. If when the alarm clock goes off in the morning and it makes you sick every morning that alarm go off, it's because you ain't doing your gift. You're going against what God created you to be. Do most of you know what your gift is? Who in here doesn't know their gift yet. Okay, let me tell you what you do. Go home today. Don't talk to nobody. Sit down and have one conversation with yourself. What is the thing that I do the absolute best with the least amount of effort? This ain't going to take you long. You old enough, you grown. Write it down. I don't care if it's networking. I don't care if it's babysitting. I don't care if it's doing color. I don't care if it's painting. Whatever it is, it's what you do. Sing it. Whatever you do the best, write it down. That's your gift. That's it. You ain't got to go asking a bunch of people. They've been telling you your whole life. You know, you ever have people call you with their problems? They always call you with your problems because you gifted at it. But you didn't know how to identify it. If you identify your gift. Now, let me ask you this question. This thing that you're gifted at, if you did it for somebody, do you think somebody would pay you $10 for your gift? Just $10. Could you babysit for $10? Could you cut somebody's hair for $10? Could you cut their grass for $10? Could you make them a chicken dinner for $10? Could you do something for $10? Everybody, don't you have something somebody would give you $10 for? Okay, now, once you have something that somebody's willing to pay you $10 for, this is how this works. It's called the multiples of 10. See, you don't have to figure out how to be a millionaire. You just got to figure out the thing that makes you $10. So now here we go. You do it and you make $10. Soon as they pay you the 10, go do it 10 more times. Whatever it was. Watch some more kids 10 more times. Get another 10. You got $100. When you get $100, whatever you did to make that $100, listen to me, do it 10 more times. You ain't got to get tricky with it. Just do it 10 more times. You'd have made $1,000. Whatever you did to make the $1,000, don't get smart. Stay stupid now. Do it 10 more times. You have now made $10,000. Hold up. Now we finna grow a little bit, but guess what you got to do to grow? You just got to do some more. Whatever you made $10,000 doing, I need you to do it 10 more times. What you tripping for? If you do it 10 more times, you got $100,000. Now, you might have to hire some people to make this happen. You got to figure that part out. But all you got to do is do what you did for $10. Once you make $100,000, if you just do it 10 more times.
All right, let's take a look at the Steve Harvey 10x10. Let's say the $10 idea that you have, instead of cutting grass or cutting somebody's hair, let's say the $10 was somebody needed a place to stay. They needed a roof over their head. So let's say you offer them a place to stay at $10 a day. All right, $10 a day times 30 days in a month, $300 a month times 12 months in a year, that's $3,600 a year. All right. Now, that's all starting with $10. You know, if you offer that $10 a day, and there are plenty of takers at that. But let's take $1 million, or the figure of a million, and let's divide that by $3,600, which is $10 a day for every day. You would get $277. So let's take, let's round that up to $278 times $3,600 a year. That's $1,800,000. That's a $10 idea too. So you can take that $10 idea and buy yourself a $300 tent and let's see, to get up to to 278 tenths. Let's say you did just one tenth per day, Monday through Friday. You take weekends off. Month number one, you need 278 tenths to get an income, a gross income of $1,800,000 a year. All right, so working days in a month times, you said $10 a day times 30, times 300. So that first month, because we're going to do it like this. Okay, each cent represents a $3,600 gross yearly income off of one $300 tent. So times 20, all right, you're up to $72,000 gross yearly income off of 20 tents. All right, now you've got to get, 278 tenths divided by, let's say you do 20 a month, so it'll take you almost 14 months to get to $1 million plus a year income off of just doing $300 tenths. Now you can go on. Now, you can also make money by not providing any kind of house, not a tent, not a cabin, but just by providing the space where people can bring their own tent. But that's a $10 idea. If you put an ad on Facebook Marketplace or OfferUp or Craigslist, Room for Rent or Beach House for Rent or TP for Rent or whatever it might be, $10 a night, you're going to get a bunch of inquiries. So you can go online, you go to Amazon, you can go to a sporting goods store online, you can go to Walmart, and you can get $100 to $300 tent. Now I got to put the video back up. Let's see, I got a 10-person cabin tent, or tent cabin. I got it for like $100. So let's take a look at what a $300 tent might look like today. Let's see, $300 tent. Okay, well, this one for $299.99 looks like the one I bought. Now, it can fit 12 people instead of 10. Okay. But there are quite a number of tents that you can find online. Here's one for Walmart, $89.99. An Ozark Trail 16x16 for 12 people, $363. So you can go online and look up, and then look on Airbnb. You know, look what they're renting tents for. And they got prices below 100, and they have prices above 300. I'm looking at one. Here's a Dream House outdoor waterproof tent for $499. But it all depends. Bell tents, 429. These are, you know, pick what you want. So you can either get a tent and rent it out. You can build one, because they do have tents made from canvas, a combination of canvas and wood, or maybe canvas and metal. Or, I mean, just look online. There's, if you're not looking for an idea, you'll find several ideas on which way you want, you might want to go. You know, like, so you can just rent a space and people bring their own tent. But whatever that will be, take the million or $1 million figure, just 1 million, and then divide, you know, what do you like, see, are you going to bring in $3,000 a month, $3,600 a month, $5,000 a month, per year, okay, and then divide that figure that you get in a year into 1 million, and that's how many tents and or cabins that you need to come up with. Now, you might be able to have, you might have a nest egg where you can, you know, do what you need to do solo. But of course, if you get up to that amount, you're going to need to hire help. You're going to have a partner, an employee, an assistant of something, because one person can't manage, you know, 200 plus people. So, that's, you know, that's what I would suggest is, this is something that you could do planning in a slight lifestyle or dramatic. Well, not even dramatic. Like I say, just one a day. Now, let's say, now that's based on a 5-day work week. So let's say you did, one tent a day for 6 days out of a week. All right. So in a month, you'd have 24. And in a year, you got 288 tents. Times, we say 3,600. So if you did 200, and there are 365 days in a year. So if you did 288, that's one a day for 6 days out of a 7-day week, take 1 day off the rest. Your gross income for a year is $1,036,800. Once again, $1,036,800. $36,000 is enough to hire somebody. Or if you split it in two, hire two people. Two $18,000 a year jobs. You know, people work at Dollar General or even Walmart for that kind of money. So you could hire two full-time people at $18,000 a year, or one person at 36. I would suggest taking that 36 and splitting it up. Of course, then you'd have to take out a certain amount for maintenance and that, you know, taxes and all that type of stuff. But your income would be over $1 million a year by doing that, what, 277 times. Now, you can do that 277 times in a year. Once again, all that is one, like I said, look online and look at the various tents and the various prices. Then go on YouTube or other places online, and they're different. Maybe you want a tent with a different look. Maybe you want to get in the glamping tents. Maybe you want something more durable, a combination of wood and or metal with canvas. Maybe you want a larger tent, that can command more revenue. So it's up to you on what kind of materials, what type of tent that you want. But I'm just saying, that's a basic $10 idea that you replicate. If you replicate it 277 times, you have an income of over $1 million a year. All right, now, go a few steps up larger because I want you guys to think big. All right, so you need 277 for a gross income of $1 million a year. You don't need to read another book. You don't need to go to another boot camp. You don't have to get on some expensive coaching program. I've laid it out for it's really that simple. Look, if seeing is believing, go to Airbnb on their app, type in tents, type in camping, and see what they're getting for those tents. Now, for the truly ambitious, and once again, that's based on a $3,600 a year gross income. Most people are not going to jump for joy because or $3,600 a year income. However, if you got that income coming in 278 times, well, that's a different story. Now, let's take that figure of $3,600 for the year. Let's take the figure of $1 billion. $1 billion, or billion anything, divided by $3,600, and if you did that same thing, we started with a $10 idea, $10 a night. If you did that 277,777 times, you'll have a gross yearly income of $1 billion off of a $10 idea. And if you look at, let's look at the, now trust me, you won't have any competition in doing this that simple $10 idea. And you can go along with me on this one. Type in any search engine, billionaires in the world. According to Forbes magazine, there are 2,640 billionaires on the planet. That's it. There are 330 million people plus in the United States alone out of over 8 billion on the planet. So essentially, there are easily 277 people that will take your offer of just $10 a night. You can build a business off of what I just broke down. Real simple, just a $10 idea, $10 a night. If you don't have money for a down payment on a house and wherever you might live, let's go over to Walmart. If you're on your phone, tablet, or desktop or laptop right now, matter of fact, let's see what's happening at Walmart. Walmart tents. And you don't have to run the idea past nobody. It's really that simple. Walmart's got a four-person easy pop-up tent for $89.99. You got another one for $30. Let's see. Another one for $98.99. Another one for $99. Or you might want to see, you know, get something more durable and, you know, go, you know, and make a trip over to China or someplace, Vietnam, meet a tent manufacturer and, you know, what kind of deal could he cut you for putting up a larger, more quality tent? No, here's a tent here for $39.97 at Walmart. See, because you can do the BYOT, bring your own tent business model. Just rent the space. Here's another one at Walmart, Ozark Trail 8-person tent, family year, for $124. So that's the $10 idea we're running with. One a day, 6 days a week. Now, we'll probably have tents made from different materials, but anyway, that's a basic arithmetic. I mean, that's arithmetic. Like, see, you don't need to go to a weekend boot camp now. Although, we're going to take that idea and offer boot camps behind it, weekend boot camps, seven-day boot camps, whatever. That's what we actually do is because, here's the beauty about something like Facebook Marketplace. You can place let's say 100 ads on there or even 50 ads. You're going to get 200 people that will inquire and are ready to have cash ready to take you up on your offer right now. Right now. If you got the space, and that's probably the toughest challenge in this, but if, you know what? Market yourself where, you know, you don't have to own the back. Like Airbnb, they don't own those rooms and tents and all that other stuff. They're just really a marketing tool. So you can do it a combination of a couple of ways. You can do it on land or backyards that you already have possession of. You can partner up with friends, family, or neighbors. Or you can buy land where you can legally, you know, put 5, 10, or whatever amount of tents that you want on it. But that's $10 idea. It's not original. We didn't invent it. And after, because I played that Steve Harvey 10x10 several times. Now we got something that, you know, if you want to join us, great. $10 a day. Now we're probably going to do up ours to $100 a day. So we won't need to buy as many tents. But I'm willing to come down as low as $10 a day. That's $3,600 a year. Nothing really to get excited, but think about it this way, and this could get you excited. You know, for every tent that you get, that represents a $3,600 jump in your income. $3,600 jump in your income. So $3,600, okay, that's a yearly jump, and you did that 6 times in a week, just once a day, take one day off, you've increased your yearly income by $21,600. If you did that for a month, you would have given yourself an $86,400 a year raise. You do that 278 times, that $10 idea, and you've given yourself $1,800,000 a year raise. Now, like I said, you're going to have to share some expenses with that, you know, because you're not going to be able to pull that off alone. That's, you know what, everything starts with one. So it starts with you buying a tent, or it can start with you finding a place where you can place a tent. Here's one for you to even take more risk out of it. Secure a place where you can put the tent first. Make that first. That's step one. Step two, advertise and let people know you got space in the backyard or wherever where a person can have two options. They can either bring their own tent or you provide one. You got those two options. Place your ad. All right, that's step two. And then let's say you get inquiries from people that want you to provide the tent. Okay. Then after you see the demand there, step three, then go buy the tent. Same day. Same day, go get it. They ordered. That's it. That's the simplicity of it. Now, you know, you're going to have to, like I said, study these other ads, but fundamentally, those are three steps. And then just do that every day, Monday through Saturday. That's what you do. It's a lifestyle. And then after 1 year, you'll have, that'll be nice to have over $1 million revenue coming in. That, although that's not net, but that's gross. But it's there for you to get. Okay. So, let's see. And we're going to have weekly, actually probably daily, for people that are interested in getting involved with that. That's what we'll be, that's what I'll be doing. So, and I'm sure we'll get ideas from others that do it as well. I mean, that idea that we're talking about is Ansel Troy. He's been on here twice. Yeah, I mean, he was talking about one thing. He just said somebody on Airbnb, they put a tent in their backyard and rent out. So when I went on Airbnb, I saw a bunch of people with tents in their backyards and their host and super host. And, matter of fact, let's do that right now. Airbnb, let's see. Tents on Airbnb. Okay, glamping rentals. How to host a tent on Airbnb. Camping. I delayed that, made $28,000 a year. Well, let's go to her for a moment. Okay. I need to go to Airbnb direct. Let's see. Cabins, beachfront rooms, beach. Oh my God. Let's put tent. Let me go back. See, I'm looking specifically for tents on Airbnb. Let's see. Tents. I'm still learning how to operate, navigate their Okay, here we go. All right, here's one where a tent in Holmesdale, Pennsylvania, $622 before taxes. Let's go with this super host. Oh, he has a tent in Auckland, New Zealand. Well, let's go with both of them. All right. This guy's got a bell. This person got a bell tent. So, okay, Brittany. She's got a bell tent on a deck for two guests. It has a bedroom, one bedroom, and one bath. $622. And Brittany's a new host. All right. Let's look at somebody. I want to get a super host. Okay. All right, now here's a super host in Auckland, New Zealand. And they have an off-grid African safari glamping tent in Auckland. And this is a super host, $691. And that's for a series of days now. This is not by the night. Okay, they got him as a new host, too. Wait a minute. I'm looking for. But they also, I don't know, this is confusing. They have as a super host. All right, well, here's another one, super host. And Texas, Fredericksburg, Texas. And this is okay, here we go. Victoria is a super host in Texas, Fredericksburg, Texas. She's been hosting for 5 months. And she's had 118 paid customers. This is now she has a glamping tent, and there are 32 pictures on it. Okay. Let's go to another super host in Perry, Iowa. Another tent. This is hosted by Missy. This tent is for two guests. It has one bedroom, one bed, and one bath. And let's see. All right, Missy's been doing this for 8 months, and she's got has had 19 people paying customers in the last month. Eight months, not even a year yet. 19 customers. She's a super host. All right. Here's another person with a tent. And they got, you know what, let's go with this A-frame. Right? Here's an A-frame tent in Brooksville, Florida. All right, A-frame cabin tent. Now, this is something I would like to model. Hosted by Deidre. And now Deidre's been doing this for eight years. 8 years. And she has had 738 people come stay with her. And that's with an A-frame cabin tent. She's a super host. Like I say, a lot of these, you can just build the deck. Build the deck or carport and just rent that out, the space. Let's see. This is never ending. Here's one in West Virginia, super host. Hosted by Spruce Mountain Cabins. Okay. And they've been doing it for 8 years, over 821 customers. And what you can do is go on here, look what people have done, reach out to people individually. I'm sure you'll make some new friends, get a mentor or two. And now with this particular tent, and they've got 24 pictures, and this is primarily a canvas tent, but it's glamping style. And here are the amenities: mountain view, valley view, has an outdoor shower. It has a bedroom and laundry, essential towels, bed sheets, soap, and toilet paper. Bed linens are provided. Portable fans are available if you need it, as well as heating. Smoke alarm, carbon monoxide alarm, fire extinguisher, first aid kit, Wi-Fi, and office. Refrigerator, mini fridge, gas stove, hot water kettle, dining table, private entrance. Separate from street or building entrance, private backyard, not fully fenced, fire pit, outdoor furniture, outdoor dining area, free parking on the premises, self-check-in, has a lockbox, not included is the kitchen, not included TV, not included washer, not included air conditioning, not included air dryer, not included shampoo. But there are many people that offer these things, shampoo, dryer, hair dryer, and all that kind of thing. But they've been doing it for, quite 8 years or whatever. So let's see. Here's another super host in Pennsylvania. Australia, Costa Rica. And these people are charging more than $10 a night. Okay. But I'm just saying the $10 a night spot, okay, if you do it enough times within 10 to 12 months, you can play with the numbers any kind of way you want. Like I say, to get there quicker, you're going to need some help. But this is something that can be done, achieved within 12 months, $1 million a year income, gross revenue income. Here's something in Mississippi. Let's check out their tent. Okay, nature glamping with tent and tropical greenhouse pool. This is hosted by Aaron. Aaron has been hosting for 2 years and has had 62 customers. They have a 4.97 star rating out of a possible 5 stars. Almost perfect. Let's see. Now here's one that has a 5-star rating. Lakeside glamping with greenhouse pool. Oh, also by Aaron. All right. Their tent hosts 2 guests, 1 bedroom, 3 beds, and 1 bath. They have 1 king-size bed and 2 single beds. They have a picture of it. It offers a lake view, free parking on premises, shared pool available year-round with salt water, shared hot tub, portable air conditioning. It does not have a smoke alarm or carbon monoxide alarm. They have 22 additional, let's see, they have a bed runner, they have towels, bed sheets, soap, and toilet paper. They have bed linens, portable air, heating, first aid kit. That seems like that's a good idea, too, first aid kits. Kitchen and dining, coffee maker, drip coffee maker. They have private entrance. They have a private patio and balcony. Shared backyard, not fully fenced. Fire pit, outdoor furniture, hammock, outdoor dining area, barbecue grill. All right. Not include a security cameras on the property, kitchen, Wi-Fi, TV. This is like off the grid. Okay, so if you want to get off the grid, this is a spot for you. All right. And they're in Mississippi. So that's the $10 idea that we're sticking a pin in. Of course, the tents will be made of a different material. The tent cabins. You're going to either do tents or cabins. There'll be variations on tents or combination. Anyway, now tomorrow, Friday, we have a guest on who has experience with Airbnb. so he'll be calling in. If you got any questions, ask him, please do. And then we're going to fill in there. So this is the rate. The $10, it's tomorrow we'll give you a little bit more information. Essentially, I've given you the basics. Our $10 idea is we're in the housing business. Now, our $10 idea will more than likely be in all actuality, like a $96 day idea. But what I like about it is, bare minimum, even if we did it at $10 a day, because like I said, if we have a debt where we can place a tent or a small portable cabin, just the space. Angela Griffin was on there a couple of times recently, and she knows of somebody that they rent out something, a particular space, for $25 a day. So that's over double. So any event, like I say, the more you get, and this is what we're going to basically plan out. Because the key here is, you want to get 24 a month. So let's say you went on, Walmart. And let's say on average, you bought a $300 tent. Now, mind you, their tents on there are less expensive than that. All right. But you got to think about your market. But so let's just say 300, and you need 24 of those a month to reach your goal. So that's $7,200. Some people might have $7,200, and they'll, like I said, you get the space, they take care of the tents, you have a partner. That's one way you can do a partnership. And you just do that every month. You take part of your profits. And roll, got to take in consideration, because I just explained to you today the sanitized version of all of it. But shit happens, things go wrong on occasion. So, all right, but like I say, tomorrow, because this is Airbnb. So we have a guest on tomorrow. He'll be speaking on his experiences on Airbnb. You might get an idea on that. And then we're going to come back during the podcast, open phone lines for you guys. And then we're going to send, just put a date by it. And, anybody who wants to be in on this, let us know. One of the things I can see us consistently doing is building decks. That deck can hold one tent, or that deck might able to be holding 5, 6, 10 cabins and or tents on them. All depends on how you want to do it. So then we got to think about security and all this other stuff too. So let's see. Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines right after this.
Look at the new archway. All organic. This is all under construction. It's about 40% complete. All right, so this is the second Wolfati that we have started construction on.
People live in here off and on. People come and stay. They come from Airbnb or directly because they're familiar with our website. It keeps the water out. It's not insulated yet, so it can get cold. But the amazing thing is, like, it was going to be a warm day outside. I don't know. But it's a little warmer outside, and we come in, and do you feel it's already much cooler?
Significantly.
So the thermal mass that surrounds the structure is absorbing the heat from this space and keeping it cool. And when we're done with this structure, we hope that we will have created annualized thermal inertia, that it will be something so that it doesn't require any heat at all. We hope. And so it'll have on two of the walls, and then on the roof, and of course underneath the building, is going to be a huge thermal mass, and that will fit underneath a layer of insulation. So it'll keep, once it's warmed in the summer, we'll be able to use that heat from the summer to heat it through the winter. That's the plan. In the meantime, we built a rocket mass heater in here, so people could stay warm until the building is complete. This one is the one that's featured in Ernie Erica's new book, The Rocket Mass Heater Builder's Guide. I think that one of the things that we did with this particular build is we wanted the world's most boring build, something that's very basic, very simple, to be able to demonstrate how to properly build a rocket mass heater. And so this is it. This is the basics. This is a simple build, and it's holding up very well. It's doing an amazing job. This rocket mass heater has heated this building for two winters now. It's about to start on its third winter.
Dumb basic question. Did you use stove paint on there? Because the normal stuff on the drum will burn off.
No. I was last year about a week ago, and I was surprised to see that this was black. And one way is stove paint, but I seriously found on the use of paint. And so, the other way would be to get a fire going in it and then you oil it. And then it will blacken like a cast iron skillet.
And how many square feet is it, Paul?
I think it's 900 square feet.
It feels so much bigger than that. So it's 900 square feet, so it still kind of count as at least a small house, if not a tiny house.
Right. I don't think this qualifies as a tiny house. This would definitely be a small.
You got a little bit of food in here behind the wall. So this is like a little food storage, water storage.
So this is our first attempt. This is a 400 square foot building. So this first wall, both of the standard walls were replaced with straw bale. And this one, the cob work needs to be completed on the straw bale. And so it looks really lumpy. And later we'll get it to look much nicer. So we call this Allerton Abbey now. When we first started building it, we called it Wafati 0.7. This structure is probably about 90% complete. It has its umbrella. We wanted to be able to test the annualized thermal inertia this winter, but that requires that we have somebody living in it through the summer, and that all of the cob work is done. The cob work isn't done yet. And so there are little points where air still gets through, and so then that doesn't make for a good test. It's beginning to look like we won't get somebody to finish it this year at all. And so, damn. We tried doing some fundraisers about 2 months ago, and we didn't get enough raised. So maybe next year.
Right.
And then we'll be able to do the annualized thermal inertia. Currently, we'll see in a moment, we'll go inside and have a look around. I think it's a really pretty little structure, and we have had some people renting it and staying in here for a bit. What I'd really love is to find, like the ultimate would be a couple that would come and finish the cob work and stay in it all year, rent-free, and then be able to thoroughly measure, the whole thermal inertia stuff.
Yeah. And it's already set up inside with some with the rocket mass heater so that they would, what they need is already built into it. It's just that it needs finished.
Well, let's suppose that it was finished. Then what you would need is somebody who would live in it through a summer. And then what would happen is that by opening and closing the windows the right amount, then which would be just like whenever you feel too warm, whenever the temperature outside is more comfortable than the temperature inside, you would open a window, kind of a thing. And so what that will do is it'll use the heat from the summer to charge the mass. And then have them stay through the fall, the winter, and the spring. In theory, what's going to happen is that it'll stay warm all winter long. When it's 20 below outside, then you're not going to leave the door open. You'll have the door closed, and you'll have the windows closed. And the thermal inertia from last summer will heat the inside. It'll continue to exude heat for many, many months. So we need a proper test. And I don't want somebody who's just going to, stay in it.
Right.
I want somebody who's going to be living in it.
Yeah.
I want somebody who's going to be cooking three meals a day inside. And I want there to be at least two people, and so at least a couple. I kind of want to be able to at least have this one test be something where, okay, there's some people that are cooking, which is adding some heat, and then there's some people that are living in it, which is adding some heat. And so then, because it's all about balance, and so where do we end up? How cold does it get? Now, in the meantime, right now, there was a rocket mass heater that was built, but the person that built it had a lot of clever ideas, and the system did not work well. It had a variety of problems. And so then one of our innovators from last year's innovators event came up here and modified it to be a rocket heater, not a rocket mass heater. So it took out, bypassed the mass, and then routed a vertical exhaust right next to the barrel. And so now you've got something that will heat the air really well. But the house itself has a mass.
Right.
So this is a different thing that should work well. In fact, at one point in time last winter, some people came in with the rocket heater, and they built a bunch of fires every day, and it took them 5 days until they could get the temperature up to, I think they were shooting for 80. Inside. And so the thing is, they would build this really hot fire, but it would never really get warm inside.
Right.
Because the walls are absorbing all that heat.
Right.
You're charging the thermal inertia. And so that was a fascinating thing. So we're really hopeful that this system is going to work and work well. But, we need to do a proper test with people
right.
living in the structure through the summer and through the winter.
And so once you heated it to 80, did it stay warm for a little while in there, or did it just keep sucking the heat out?
It did stay warm for a little while. But, again, air was just moving through the structure.
Right.
And so, to get it to be at 80 degrees while air is moving through the structure is still
it's tricky.
Relatively profound.
Right.
But, hopefully the whole structure will be finished. I would... It would be fantastic if a couple showed up and said that they would finish the work and stay here for, you know, 365 days or something. I would love to work out an arrangement with a couple like that.
Well, and it's getting to be too late in the year to be able to finish any cob on the outside, isn't it? It wouldn't have time to dry, correct?
Well, true. I mean, I think that there would be a lot of work to be done on the outside. I mean, if you did cob on the outside, I think right now you could be okay. Like right now, I don't think we're going to have a frost for probably a week at least. And so, like, if they showed up right now and put in and started cobbing on the outside, I think that they'd be okay. But when frost hits, that's, if your cob isn't dry yet, that's going
right.
to just eat your cob.
And you do want somebody that's coming to have listened to your podcast enough and seen enough of your videos that they really understand how to do it.
I won't let somebody live here unless they've listened to at least 200 of my podcasts,
right.
which is going to be a very rare person, I think.
Right.
Otherwise, I just don't think that they're going to have the same value set. I mean, for any of the residents that we have here, the critter?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
For any of the residents, that's a requirement that we have, and it would be unfair to the other residents,
right?
You know, to not have that same requirement. But, I mean, I don't know, a year of free rent, and to be the first person, you know, to travel in a Wofati, I don't know. I think it's more than a fair deal to say you have to listen to 200 podcasts,
right.
but that's the price.
Well, and it would shorten your time. It would shorten your learning curve, because then you'd understand how to do it correctly. You could kind of stand on the shoulders of the people who've already done it. I mean, you've done enough experimenting that if somebody didn't take what information you already have and they started to try from ground zero, they'd lose a lot of work and a lot of hours to making it the wrong way.